Skype of Cthulhu presents a Delta Green scenario. A Victim of the Art by Dennis Detweiler.
Well, Randall's kind of driving, so. But you can all talk. What do you guys remember from last session? And don't leave out the juicy stuff.
Well,
you do get clue chips as an incentive.
I remember that. Let's see here, going over the notes. We've got.
We figured out that the strange picture of the South American winged person that. Agent Marco found was drawn by this Javier Wu, who is also the author of the Comprehensive History of South American Cultures. So we suspect him.
Yes, and we also learned that that he was he took them to lectures in New York, the Dr. Wu lectures. He had taken kids from his newly formed South American history class.
The jerk boyfriend Samuel Adams of the librarian Vanessa Hotvin, yes, took students to see them. We interviewed, what's his name, Dangler, or Molotov went to interview Dangler.
And we went to his house.
And we're convinced that he is involved, if not responsible. So,
right.
We had Molotov interview him at the police station. And to distract the parents, performed a completely legal search of the house, of the Dangler household, where we found a hidden painting that seems to relate to the same imagery.
Well, it actually has that little
figure in it, yeah.
Way down in the foreground.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. The boy Dangler's maternal grandfather was an archaeologist in South America, and he had some strange and mysterious South American-looking charms under his bed, which we have taken as evidence.
Yes, the grandfather, Derek Wheeler.
Yeah.
I know that, let's see, Agent Marco and I went and investigated the water tower murder scene of the cheerleader, and... found, you know, the crime, looked at the crime scene midway up on the highest walkway, and then I was looking in the trees, you know, a little bit away from the crime scene, and found some of that gray goo way up in the top of the trees. So it's basically confirming or leading us to believe that these things that are committing the murder or whatever's happening is most likely flying.
And probably the thing in the picture. Which the boy is somehow summoning.
Although, yes.
Although probably the parents are involved in some way too. So.
All right. Good. Anything else, or I think you got it all?
Dangler has been doing Alta Vista searches on his AOL account regarding Incas and how to appease the parents.
Yeah. Didn't he actually had a book? Books. A book on how to please your parents / be a good son.
That's right.
And there's something about that he's been chatting with Harrogate. The dead cheerleader, Lauren Harrogate.
Yeah, she shot him down and then was like mocking his poems.
Yep. Which is why he killed her.
Oh, and then said something about Adam. Adam told Dangler that he could do a better job, but he got shot down too.
Hey, he's got a grandfather that used to be an archaeologist or something like that, that went to South America, and that's where he got all these relics from. You know, the ones that we fetched from under his bed, those were his grandfather's, if I'm not mistaken. And I was thinking based on the history of the, you know, when we hacked into his computer, that he actually was possessed by some sort of creature. Or entity.
Cool. Yeah. A lot of interesting theories out there.
And then, let's see here. Dengler had a root canal a few weeks ago. His parents had to pick up medication from the pharmacy for him. He had a bad reaction.
And that's why he killed the dentist, because he was mad at him for the root canal.
Right, exactly. Precisely. And then someone talked to John Allen, or somehow John Allen, the jogger who found the Dr. Moretti in the morning. They presume he was killed the previous evening. And then there was more gray goo found, tying all three of the crime scenes together with the gray goo.
Good. What do you guys remember with Molotov at the end, if anything?
That he was... didn't he, like...
He was completely botching
himself.
He was completely botching the interview. I thought he did a pretty good job with the cutting himself to try to, you know,
like
try to scare, like, the kid into
anything from his horrible
the crazy
attempt.
Yeah,
bring the crazy.
I think, but the parents were not impressed and threatened to go to the FBI to report him.
Yeah, which is bad for us.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's where he proceeded to arrest Thomas Dengler, and one of the attorneys, the main attorney, stayed with Dengler while he was put in the cell, which seemed like a bit of a block for Molotov, but he said he had it handled. And I believe while you guys were getting out of the – you guys were just exiting the Dengler house and taking off as you left, I think I told you that you saw the Dengler parents – coming in from a different street towards their house. So actually, that was a good move with you leaving right away, Jim. So you get a clue chip for that. And I'm going to give a clue chip to Brent's character, even though he's not here, just for delaying and bringing the crazy. And all of you get a clue chip. The three of you get a clue chip for viewing. I'll give one to Randall since he's driving and don't want him to crash. And yeah, that's pretty much where we left off, I believe. Molotov probably, I think he called, we'll say, since the player's not here, we'll say he calls you and lets you know the status of things at some point, that he's got Dengler in the cell of the sheriff's office.
Fair enough.
And then he'll proceed to disappear like he did last time when his player wasn't here. He goes, well, I incited the keeper to make things more dangerous and made myself a target, but now I won't be here, so one of you can be the target.
Well, the mystery has been solved. I mean, we have the perpetrator. You know, we're done. We can go home now, right?
Right. Tried as an adult and death penalty. Yeah. Boom. So done.
You know, I say we go back. We call, what's his name?
All right. You're going to ring Marcus, your handler?
Yes, that's, yeah. Uh-huh. Give him a call. Tell him we have the perpetrator. And...
All right, you call his high-tech pager. He'll call you back soon, you think.
In the meantime, we should probably just sit on him at the sheriff's office, right?
Okay.
Yes, unless we want to investigate this Samuel Adams. I know you don't have a liking for the gentleman, I don't either, but it seems quite suspicious.
Well, if you want to go about you and Agent Marco, go follow that up, and I'll stay here at the sheriff's office and... sit on the boy.
Very well. And Agent Marco, you should watch after him. He seems kind of crazy.
I mean Agent Molotov. Wherever
Molotov,
yes. Wherever he's gotten off to.
Yeah, Molotov just, like, you know, call after he talks, he goes, I gotta go, I'm needed elsewhere. His usual voice. Like, it's important. He's probably going to see his mother in upstate New York or something, you know. Do some chores. But, yeah, anyway, so it sounds like Mikey's going to the sheriff's office, and what are the other two of you doing, exactly? Going to talk to Sam Adams, you said?
Well...
It is mid-evening, as an FYI, but people are still up.
We should figure out our plan for tomorrow on how to tackle this Sam Adams issue.
I'm home. So, what I was going to say is that we need to rescue Molotov somehow. Because the parents were going to contact the FBI.
So I would say we should go and talk to the sheriff and say that Molotov is being accused of impersonating an FBI agent, and we need to arrest him. And then we're taken away from the school and everything.
If you guys want to do that, Molotov will be around. I just don't want to have to play him. That's why.
I don't know. I mean, that's my brain was going the totally other way. Agent Mason was thinking of taking a fruit basket to the parents of Dangler and telling them, you know, they're sorry for the way that he acted, and you know, this would be over soon. It's a formality. We just need to talk to him.
That's actually a good idea. I think you should do that tonight. I would love to know what those parents are getting up to.
Yeah, I think we should talk to them more. I mean, this strange painting in their house that links to this strange, like, hermit that Agent Marco talked to.
Yep.
Very interesting.
I'm certain that the boy is responsible, but the parents are clearly involved here somehow.
Yes, and then that also, I mean,
even if not intentionally, they know something.
Well, yes, we can also agreed. Do some research on his grandfather, that we don't have anything about him, right?
We just have his name and that he was an archaeologist in South America.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Agent Marco, didn't you want to talk to those TV people?
Yeah, do you still want to pursue that line of inquiry? It's kind of risky. If they kind of realize that we are under, you know, that we're here to do some investigation, probably we're going to be on the news, they're going to take some photographs. I don't want to expose myself to that kind of,
It doesn't really seem necessary at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Agent Mason will be on fruit basket duty.
Okay.
I will go to the library and do some research on his grandfather.
You're going to go to the New York City Library a couple hours away, sure.
Yeah, sure.
It's probably the best place to get lots of info.
Well, if you're headed into the city, then it might be too late to talk to this Professor Wu fellow tonight, but perhaps if you stay over, you could talk to him in the morning.
Yes.
Also, the library is closed, but you're FBI, so you can pull some strings to get into the library at night when it's closed.
Okay. Unfettered access.
Well, a common benefit to FBI agents anywhere.
you know what? I'm actually I'm a kind of hacker, or I work at the computer FBI for real, so I should have some sort of access to files and library access and all that from my computer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can easily get into the main library because there is stuff that's probably not on databases at this time because it is mid-90s. So you may have to go through, microfiche or, God forbid, even books. Those are still about, but yeah, you have your own stuff. So if you want to do that, I'm just saying you can totally get in because you're FBI and already have a pass.
Well, I'll see what I can. What can I access from from my computer in the morning?
Okay, you can do that too. It's really not a big deal for you to go to the library. It's only a couple hours out, so you could definitely do it if you wanted to. But you could start with your computer usage and see if you can pull some stuff up, and then expand from there.
Yeah, I can. You know, if I don't find anything, then I will try the library, as you're saying. Just go there, show my ID, and get into the library, do some more research.
Totally cool.
Yeah, that's the plan.
All right. Why don't you make a computer use roll now, and I'll give you the information a little later, since it's about 2 hours of research, just so we get that out of the way. And Max, you can make an appearance roll to see how your first impression goes with the Dangler parents, per my house rules.
97 on my computer use.
So a 9900 or a bad break in my game, and I'd like to point out that some of you have got a lot of clue chips, so you should be like using those babies for lots of stuff because they don't apply to rerolling sand or combat or rituals or a few other things. So Yeah, I mean, like, Jim's got over 10. Unless he just wants to show off, you should start re-rolling stuff suggestion. Rather than awarding them. Like, there's a big fight coming. You're not going to start calling clue chips, not combat chips.
Let me use one of them.
I think we're being attacked. I made my clue chip roll.
No, I'm just being arrogant and assume that we have the whole thing actually solved. So
you could totally
I don't need to learn anything else. It's obvious.
I'm in denial, but you're wrong. Why can't you think like me?
It's the kid. The kid did it for sure.
So
of course,
can I use one of the clues to?
You can totally do it.
You re-roll?
I'll pull the clue chip off for you.
All right.
And Shannon, for some reason, the tabletop's not opening up for me. If you
That's
could pass. Give me that clue chip that I earned earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be awesome. And then
take the chips off too if you need to.
Okay. Cool. And then
roll regular.
App times 5 is that?
Yeah.
For the okay.
So
87, which is a fail, so I'm going to use that clue chip.
So little used appearance in these Cthulhu games.
And that's another fail.
I'll pull another off?
I believe so. I want to make this a good impression. Oh my gosh, an 88.
All right, you got 4 left. You want to use another?
Yeah, I will.
They go fast sometimes.
Oh, okay, totally worth it. One.
Just take a shower and comb your hair. Jeez, kid.
I think he just had that idea.
You put on the right deodorant.
I put on the Mitchum.
Wow, Ot One. That's like extreme success per 7th edition rules, which I kind of use, so I'll keep that in mind. Nice. Randall, did you made your re-roll, I take it, of computers?
Yes, and that was a pass.
Regular or half or impale?
Regular.
Or did you get an Ot One like Max?
No,
don't want
no
rags or anything. Okay.
I'm not the lucky guy in the team.
Yeah, you have to hang out with a farmer, Bob. So anyway, we'll cut real quick to Mikey. Mikey, you show up at the sheriff's office, and Molotov sees you, stands up, comes to you in an agitated state as usual, and says, "Yeah, I gotta go."
Okay. Yeah.
It's one of those things. He gives you a knowing look.
Have a good evening. I'm sure we have this all wrapped up anyway. We probably won't need you again, but we'll give you a call.
Okay. So he goes off.
Something comes up.
Yeah. You glance back down the corridor way where the cells are. You can see the main attorney guys there per the picture to the right of the Denglers. He's sitting on a chair talking with Thomas, trying to calm him down because he's blubbering.
Okay.
The sheriff isn't around, and you know that his niece probably is off work now. So the place looks relatively empty. Your meeting room down the hall is empty too.
Okay. I'm just going to hang out and keep an eye on the kid.
Okay. Do you want to walk to the cell where they're talking, or just kind of hang back?
No, attorney-client privilege. I don't want to, maybe I'll just get close enough that I can, if I just happen to hear something accidentally.
Okay, make an easy listening roll, so double your listen.
Yeah.
Since it's not that difficult.
Easily.
Okay. The main attorney is trying to calm him down, telling him that it's not as bad as he thinks, right? And Thomas is just blubbering, going, "How am I going to get into Harvard now? This is going to go on my permanent record." And at one point you hear him say something that sounds a little weird to you. He goes, "Oh, my makeup's running too.
Oh, geez.
I got to clean myself. My acne's going to show. Can you get me a touch-up or something?" And the attorney is kind of in the same attitude as you, except he's trying to hide it more. He's like, sure, Thomas. It's important to look good.
Yeah, I'm just going to go sit down.
Okay. Yeah, so you're not hearing anything in particular, just kind of sitting around. Anything you want to do in general, or are you just kind of hanging out, just guarding?
No, I'm just hanging out. I'm just going to hang out, guard him, make sure he doesn't try to escape.
Okay, with his massive skills. Hi-ya! All right.
Actually, I take that back. There is something I want to do. I wanted the things that I got from the house, the, mm-hmm. what did we call them? the little charms.
Uh-huh.
That's what we called them. I want to just take a look at them, take a look at those. And I might page through the South American book just to see if there's anything in the book that resembles the charms.
Okay. That's going to take some time, but yep. Give me a number of roles. You can give me a library's role. You can give me an occult role. You can also give me a history role. And if you make any of them, let me know how by much, because you'll get more information. If you're not happy with your rolls, you're welcome to use your 20 billion clue chips that you've been stockpiling like a European dragon.
I will fail the roll. I will use a clue chip.
Oh, my God.
And I will pass a library use roll.
I'll pull a clue chip off for you then. So you made your regular success on your library roll, Jim?
Correct.
How about occult and history? Failed?
Yeah, totally? Yeah.
Don't even want to bother rerolling. Okay.
I have base. I'm not gonna push those.
Sure. All right, so I'll give you some information in a couple hours' time. Remind me if I forget. And we're gonna cut over to Max, who's knocking at the Dengler residence. I believe.
No. First I'm gonna go find the nicest gift shop in town and get a nice gift basket.
Okay. Fruit you pick basket. Something up, sure. Okay.
And then I will make my way over. And yes, I will knock on the Dengler's door and try and speak as slowly and calmly as possible.
House is kind of to the bottom of the pictures here over the map if you want to get a review of what it looks like. But yeah, you go up and come up to the door and knock. And you can hear some classical music wafting in.
Can I recognize what music it is?
You can make an art roll, or if you have a music roll, you can make that.
I'm pretty sure I don't have either. So, yeah.
Well, the default for art is 5, so you can make a roll for that.
Let's try for an art 5. Nope, that's 51. And I'm not going to use a clue chip to try and reroll that.
Yeah, it sounds classical to you.
All right. Good enough.
Mrs. Dengler opens the door and says, yes, can I help you? And you probably are identified as a special agent, so she addresses you by your title.
He's got his windbreaker on, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get shot by accident.
Right. Well, or, yeah, I guess. It's kind of a target for bad guys then, aren't I? Yes, Miss Dengler. Agent Mason. Very sorry about all this trouble with your son. I just wanted to extend our apologies for any inconvenience. I know this is a hard thing for a parent to go through, having their son questioned and have legal issues and things like that. I just wanted to say it should be over soon, that you shouldn't worry. Just wanted to especially say sorry for the inconvenience earlier with the other agent, who may have been a little forward in his investigation technique.
Well, normally she wouldn't let you in, but because of your amazing role of Ot 1, she says, why don't you come in, Special Agent? My husband and I have just finished dinner. Would you like some coffee, she says?
Yes, I will.
She just kind of presumes you're coming in, leaves the door open, and just yes. Kind of starts walking.
Thank you. I would like that very much. I'll come in and shut the door behind me.
Okay. All right. Yeah, they're kind of in the dining room area. They're their housemaid is sending food out and, more desserts out after dinner, everything. You can smell coffee. Mr. Dengler gives you a nod. He heard what you were saying to Mrs. Dengler because he wasn't that far away. He stands up and shakes your hand. He says, Special Agent, thank you for coming by.
I say, yes, no. No need to thank me. This is my pleasure to come by and talk to you and express our thanks for, you know, how calmly you handled the situation earlier. Yes, well.
Would you like a cigar?
Oh, yes, indeed. Thank you.
That's what happens when you're not one. give you a cigar, they're putting a coffee there. They've got the fruit basket on the table and they're admiring it. And the father of Thomas looks at his wife and says, I think he really does look a lot like him. And she goes, almost exactly. And then they both look at you.
They like who?
Well, oh, this is kind of embarrassing, but you know, when we first saw you, we thought you looked exactly like his father, she says. And she points at her husband. And he kind of nods, just kind of embarrassed.
Oh. What? It, very interesting. Who was your father? Is he around still?
Oh, no. He passed on from cancer, but he was in the same business as me. He was a VP for Exxon as well.
Oh.
He didn't get to see me make vice president, unfortunately, but you're almost the spitting image of him.
Hmm. Interesting. Well.
Yeah, this is a plus 20 to your social roles with him, by the way.
Oh, all right. Sweet.
You have to persuade him of things, just as an FYI. So.
Plus 20 social. All right. Well, you know, I know that our other agents have little Thomas down at the station. For now, you know, maybe would you care? I hope I'm not imposing. Would you be able to give me a tour of the house? Maybe, you know, talk about Thomas and his upbringing. You know, it seems like he just has been maybe having a little bit of social anxiety or social troubles. I don't think he's a bad kid. I don't. All of this should be over soon. Okay. But it would be good to get some information about, you know, him and what he has been doing, what he does.
So they both get hostile looks suddenly on their face as you guys start talking about this, but they proceed to blame everyone but you. It's almost like you're not a part of what happened, even though you're FBI and here. They blame Mikey, they especially blame Molotov and talk about him being unstable and how he needs to be removed from his job for cutting himself in front of them. And they proceed, you know, show you around the house. You know, they take you into Thomas's room and other places. And basically, Thomas is an only child who was quiet, nerdy, got picked on as a kid, excelled academically. You know, the typical nerd, right? He wants to go to one of the Ivy League schools, especially Harvard. He's had an interest in a number of things, but lately he's been interested in archaeology because of his grandfather, Derek Wheeler, who gave him a number of old, you know, they refer to them as knickknacks.
Knickknacks, okay. Yeah. Hmm. Well, interesting. He was an archaeologist. Ah, very nice. Very nice. What kind of, where did he specialize in his archaeology?
You can make an easy psychology roll at this point, and you can take your plus 20 after you total up your double, since it's the danglers.
All right, psychology, that is a 48, and my skill is an ought 5.
So 10 plus 20 would be 30 that you would need.
Yeah. No. So that's a fail.
Right, they basically proceed to tell you that Derek Wheeler was an archaeologist, and he operated mostly in South America. And he was particularly interested in a variety of different cultures. They don't know the exact names because they're not really scholarly types, but they do kind of get the Inca name wrong, except they call it Incas is how they pronounce it.
Okay. I won't correct them.
They've got a beautiful house. I mean, they've got like a huge plot of land behind. You can see there's a swimming pool with a, you know, a pool house. They've got like a mother-in-law cottage beyond that. You can see a fence down by the beach, which is privately for them.
Well, while they have me on the tour, where is the painting?
It was down in one of the den. They have like a backup den room. I mean, they have a huge house, by the way.
I'll kind of, you know, circle around, make small talks until we get back to that room, and I'll start to admire the painting. In particular, the frame. And I'm going to try and
I guess.
Didn't you guys? Now I'm trying to remember here because the other group played a day after you guys. So did you guys do? What did you guys do with that painting, if anything, when you saw it?
We studied it and then we left it there.
Okay, just wanted to be sure.
We put it. You know, we put it back the way we found it, so the covering painting is there on top of it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, didn't we take the painting and put the old the one that was on top of it back into the frame and take the old painting with us? I thought we did that.
I don't recall us taking the painting from the house.
Although it does sound like something
we would do.
It does sound like something we would have.
I seem to recall you guys were at least talking about taking the painting, but maybe you didn't do that.
Well, if Agent Marco wants to have taken it, I say let him have taken it.
Well, that changes what I'm about to do.
That's why I'm going to get clear about that, yeah.
Yeah.
And accidentally bump the painting. Oh, look.
Oh.
Did you want to take the painting, Randall, or no?
I guess it works better if we just left it there. So...
Okay. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I mean, I remember there was some talk about that, and the reason I paused there was because the other group that played a day after you, they had the same issue. they were also arguing, do we take it or not? Well, it's in this really big frame. We have to cut it out. And they were like kind of, So it's interesting how they keep doing some of the same things you guys are doing. But anyway, so the painting is still there. You know it's underneath the main painting, so you're just kind of admiring, kind of the main one.
Yeah, and I'll say, oh, this frame is nice. Oh, yes. And kind of surreptitiously knock the painting off.
Sure. They come over and they say, oh, that's okay. That thing's always falling.
What?
And you can see, like, the big one there, you know, and they don't seem to react too much to it, like, when you see it. I mean, you kind of, you know, say something and they go, oh, this is something from my grandfather's. Or she would say her father.
Oh, okay.
The mother's name is Eloise, I believe. She goes, my father, Derek Wheeler, the archaeologist, this is something he brought back. I think it's kind of just not quite proper, but I just don't have the heart to get rid of it. There's not a lot of... I mean, it's a huge painting, as you can see. I mean, and she's right, because it's like 6 feet across and like 5 feet high. She goes, it would be really... I just don't have the heart to toss this into... I'm not a pack rat, so I'd have to just get rid of it, but I kind of cover it up, just bring me memory of my father, and you kind of see the husband kind of make a face like he wants to get rid of that painting, but he doesn't say anything.
So, well... and the wife doesn't see this, I'm guessing.
No,
the husband's face.
He's slightly behind. He's trying not to be obvious, but it's clear he does not care much for that painting at all.
I'll say, I'm sorry, Miss Dengler. I actually need to have a closer look at this painting. This actually seems like this is a very interesting painting.
Oh, well, you're welcome to look at it. My father brought it back after his third time down in South America. Someone had, one of the locals had painted it.
Oh, interesting. Mr. Dengler, do you think you might be able to help me get this the painting off the wall so I might be able to see the artist's name or something, or if there's any inscription on the back?
He looks to his wife. He goes, certainly, and... his wife says, well, we've already looked for that before because my father wanted to get more of those years later but could never track the artist down, but we can take it down still. Since you rolled an odd one.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. It's a very interesting painting. It's very nice.
Okay, so they take it down and you flip it over and you're kind of looking at it. You do not see any identification of the artist. Though you can make an idea roll as you're looking it over.
That is an 82, which is a fail. And I can
use clue chips on the idea rolls?
You can totally use clue chips for idea rolls if you want.
I'm gonna use a clue chip for this one.
All right.
So I have two more after this, right?
Yep.
Can't see the board still. 20. That's a success.
Is that a half?
That is... My idea is 75, so that's not...
half, right?
20 out of 75. But yeah, that's half for sure.
Yeah, so you're looking this over, and there's a few things that come to mind. One is that it wouldn't be unusual for an artist, especially if they didn't expect to sell it, to sign it. And secondly, you're not an artist, a connoisseur of art, but you kind of get the feeling looking this painting over that this painting might be worth a lot of money to certain people. And you don't know too many archaeologists who have a ton of money to buy something like this. So you're kind of wondering how Derek Wheeler got access to this painting. Those are things that cross your mind. And of course, you notice the things I pointed out before about the winged thing in the corner that's just barely noticeable.
Right. But that was what Agent Marco found in the art book of the hermit.
Yeah. But to like somebody who's not looking for that, it would be really difficult to spot something like that, and you could justify it's just a play of the shadows too.
Okay. And so what you were saying about it should be signed is what you were saying.
Yeah, if somebody was, generally when people sell their artwork, the standard procedure in most Western American countries is to sign it, and probably you would think the same in the South American countries, just to, you know, make a name for yourself, right?
So, Miss Dangler, first let me preface and say, if everything works out, it should be just fine. Unfortunately, I may have to take this painting in as evidence. It seems like it may be stolen.
Okay. Normally they would block you and say, do you have a warrant and other stuff? But since they love you, I'm going to give you a regular persuade roll or credit rating or even fast talk if you want to just convince them. I won't even give them a counter roll for a fast talk. Since they love you so much.
I'll go persuade since I have a 75 already. So with the plus 20, that'll be nice. 82, which is a success.
Now you know why I give bonuses for appearance, because this would normally be a lot harder if you hadn't gotten that out one.
yeah.
So they say, oh, well, yeah, why don't we, you know, they say, we'll package it up for you, make sure it doesn't get damaged, and they actually make a phone call and call somebody, like some kid from the block, to come and help it be moved to your vehicle. And when you, like, resist, they go, oh, no, it's no trouble. We don't want you to hurt yourself or get a splinter or pull your back. They're very concerned about you. But eventually you manage to get this huge painting into your vehicle, even if it's partially sticking out of your window.
Awesome.
And it's still framed, and it's packaged and covered, so it won't get damaged. And they actually see you to the door and force desserts on you to go as you leave.
Oh, wow. Mr. and Mrs. Dangler, you are too kind. Thank you so much for your hospitality. I will see what we can't do about getting little Thomas released as soon as possible.
Okay. So just to do a little hand waving, we'll say that entire thing took about 2 hours so that I can get to the other two for their research. Is that cool?
Yeah. Totally cool.
And you're probably driving back to the sheriff's office, or I would think, to see Mikey, but we'll see.
Yeah, I got to put this painting somewhere.
It's a good place. So a few things here. Let's see. So Marco, Randall, you... What were you looking up specifically when you did your computer use?
Well, I was doing a background check on his grandfather.
Okay, cool. Anything in particular, or you just want to do a general spread?
Well, especially related to findings in South America, see if there are any news on the net, or if he is related somehow to any weird accident or
okay,
we're happening.
All right. So, yeah, you're looking up Derek Wheeler. He was born in 1899 in Montgomery, Pennsylvania. He attended the University of Pennsylvania from 1918 to 1923, majoring in archaeology and anthropology. He spent several years working on his degree, and he had there were a number of exploratory trips abroad. He went to two expeditions up in the Orinoco in South America to investigate rituals and beliefs of many Stone Age tribes in the area. He spent some of his last years abroad, especially in Lima, Peru. And what happened was, during that time, he apparently was going back and forth, and he actually was working on a paper about old legends and whatnot. And during that time, you noticed that he had a particular interest in the warrior priests of a number of cultures, the Mochi, the Chavin, the Chimú, and the Incas. And you recall that all of these sort of built upon the next. So like the descendants, quote unquote, took stuff from their ancestors, quote unquote. And he was especially exploring an unpopular belief that the people of South America did not have the means to move a lot of the huge stones by themselves. So they clearly had something supernatural helping them, which in academia, you know, is probably a minority opinion by the 90s and considered racist in some circles as well. Because you normally don't hear people saying this about Stonehenge, right? So, but as you're going through it, you do see that Derek Wheeler was intrigued by this idea, and he was actually working on a thesis. And what is particularly revealing is while he was working on this, he was dismissed from the university in shortly thereafter. But then instead of, you know, giving up, he just started doing his own expeditions and going down to Peru, especially. But then he had an accident, and he was confined to a wheelchair. And that happened, like, in 1954.
Mm.
And then he, you know, he moved up to, you know, Farmingdale, New York, and had a family, and then eventually just stayed there. And his, you know, one of his children was Eloise Wheeler, who remained in the East Coast and married, you know, Mr. Dengler, Stephen Dengler is his name, and then they moved to this area. And it looks like he, you know, from what you can tell of the records, he did visit them sometimes, but eventually he died of throat cancer sometime in, like, it looks like he died in 1985. So Thomas would have been about 5 or 6 at that time.
Is there any information about the accident?
The details just say that as you're looking through, that apparently he was high up somewhere at one of the ruins, and he fell from a height of about 50 feet, and he was lucky to have lived. There's some hospital reports that show that his legs were broken, he had spinal damage, and he was paralyzed from the waist down. You know, there were, you know, you can see, like, there was no chance of him recovering. He was going to be confined to a wheelchair for the rest of his life. He never published anything. The thesis, as far as you can tell, was never published. Yeah, published in academia. Nothing of the sort. Though you can, at this point, make an idea roll.
Okay. Let me check, because I thought I had a very good idea. Nope.
You have seven or eight clue, you have seven or eight clue chips if you want to try again.
I'm going to use one.
Okay. Take one for you.
97.
Not a bad break. so you can drag another clue chip over if you want. What will he do?
How many do I have left?
I see 6.
And how many clue chips do I have left?
6.
6. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to use another one.
All right.
Let's see what the idea is. I hope it's worth the excuse.
I'll tell you it's worthwhile. So as you're thinking about it, it occurs to you, if he never published it, but he was working on it, maybe it was left with the mother at the house somewhere. Maybe for all you know, they've read it.
If you
think they have an interest in it, or Thomas did, but it occurs to you that maybe there's something. Since he was working on this for years, apparently, maybe he has a draft or something that he kept before he passed everything on to his family before he died. Dun dun dun.
Can I call? What's Shrek's name again, Max?
Agent Mason.
You can call Agent Mason or Mikey, sure.
Max?
Agent Mason.
Yeah, I'm going to call Agent Mason. Yeah,
all right.
I'm going to call Agent Mason.
Well, you get him as he's leaving the Dengler residence, so he can totally talk to you privately.
Agent Marco, how you doing?
Okay, so good, are you still at the house?
I just left, just talked to the Danglers, got this painting, this nice painting with that little guy from your sketchbook that you saw in there.
You are very crafty. I wanted to do something else for me. Seems like the grandfather was writing some sort of thesis when he had an accident or he wasn't able to finish it. So I was wondering if we could get a hold of the draft. Maybe if you talk to the mother of the kid and mention this to her, maybe she would remember it and somehow.
Yeah. Sounds like a good idea, Jamarco. You know what? I just left. I'm just a couple minutes away. Let me go back and swing back around. I'll ask him.
All right. You swing back. They're actually... on the porch, and as you come back, they're like, "Oh, you're back! Oh, we were just talking about you."
Oh,
and
hey,
they,
you know, it just occurred to me. Would you? I'm sorry to be an imposition again.
No, not at all.
You wouldn't possibly have any paperwork that your father may have left you, Miss Wheeler.
Well, there's a few boxes over in the mother-in-law cottage. Did you want to go through it?
Well, if I could go take a look, that would be wonderful.
Oh, okay, sure. Do you want us to walk you over there? Here are the keys. They just hand it to you without...
Oh, no. I've already been too much of an imposition. You just stay here. I'll come and get you if I need anything.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't mind another cup of coffee.
Okay, so yeah, you have some coffee. You go out there. They bring you some stuff. The place is very well lit up and back, so it's no trouble getting there. Though they insist on giving you a flashlight or making sure you have one. You get to the mother-in-law cottage, which is a measly 1,200 square feet, and move around through there and locate the boxes and start pouring through them. And you see like more of these charms, and you see a lot of. Weathered academic books, and you find a number of papers and revisions, and you find three that appear to be different drafts of what he was working on, which he calls South American folklore, and he has underneath tentative title. You know, by Derek Wheeler. And it's like really, really, you know, really old type font, right? Like, he never, you know, from what you can tell looking through it, it's going to take some time to go through it because he didn't update it like on a new typewriter or a computer or anything like that. It looks like someone who was using a really old, you know, typewriter probably from, you know, maybe the 40s, 50s, if I want to be generous.
And so you said there's three copies of it?
Yeah, he has three drafts.
Three drafts. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else of interest that I see there? I'm just going to start making a box that I'm going to take with me. Like, I'll empty out one of the boxes that they have with his stuff in it, and I'll start making that box into my stuff to take from
Elder Wheeler.
Sure. Why don't you make a spot roll for me? As you're looking around.
It's a success with a 23.
So, you know, you find the stuff I told you in the boxes, but then you go, like, upstairs and poke through the attic, and you find there are more books up there, and a lot of them are academic. So you just take all those and decide, you know, we'll go through them later.
Yep.
And awesome. you get all that stuff, and you look around, and you're, you know, you think you've done a good job of inspecting this area. Probably took you about an hour or so.
All right. Well, I'll head out and say thank you to the danglers again. Very sorry. Excuse me. I believe I'll be needing to take this box of information as well. I will. Okay. I'll catalog it, and I'll have it returned to you eventually after it's been assessed.
Okay. Again, they have no resistance because it's you. So you take all the stuff and just leave.
Very well. Here's my card. Here's my card. Totally fake card.
I'm going to give you and Randall each a clue chip for things. And then I'm going to cut over to Jim, who has been spending some time going through the history book sorts.
Yes, indeed.
So it's been a couple of hours, and like a lot of academic books, it's pretty dry.
Of course.
But there are a few things. There's one thing you find pretty intriguing as you're going through this, is besides the fact of some of the other stuff you mentioned. As you're looking this over and going through it, and, you know, sometimes barely staying awake, it occurs to you that this book is clearly something that is far, obviously it's generally too advanced for a high school student, for one. So it's kind of peculiar to you that some of the students have attempted to read this. The second thing that just kind of catches your eye as you're going through this is that there are several references to many different places where the information was gathered and whatnot. And two things that catch your eye is, one, there's a reference to a paper with the title I mentioned earlier, written by a Derek Wheeler, which you'll find out was never published, but it's listed here as a reference.
Okay.
And then the second thing is that there is a reference to a Professor Wilbert Shropshire at the University of Wisconsin, who wrote a lengthy thesis as his final graduate paper on dark angels and avatars of Mesoamerican culture. These are like little footnotes that you find as you're pouring through the book for a couple hours.
Okay.
And based on what you guys have been collecting, that obviously catches your eye.
Yep. Nothing on the charms that I have, though?
Nothing specific that matches any of the charms you have. I mean, there's references made that the priest kings would sometimes summon their angels or avatars, as you will, and they would use them to do it, but they don't have any particular sketches or shots of the charms that look similar to yours. There's a few things, but nothing looks exactly like the ones you have. Okay. But you do get the impression that there's many different types, so that doesn't really surprise you.
Okay.
And I'd say at that point, if it's okay, the other two agents show up, and it's probably about 11 at this point.
Agent Mikey. Oh, man. So much good stuff. So much good stuff. Come help me with the car.
With the car? What do you... Oh, dear God. How did you get that out of their house?
Oh, you just don't know Agent Mason as well as you should yet.
Apparently not. What are we supposed to do with it?
We can always take it to New York. Have it... it looks pretty expensive. Looks like maybe some art people would know what this is. It's relevant.
Yes, I'm sure it's not relevant.
Two totally unrelated people have the same drawing or elements of the same drawing in two separate locations.
Yes. Dun, dun, dun.
I found reference to the boy's grandfather in this this book here as well.
What was it referencing? Was it referencing maybe this? And I pull out the manuscript.
All three drafts.
Did you just take everything out of their house? What's
he's bringing in like boxes.
A search warrant will only get you so far. Manners, on the other hand, will get you everywhere.
Yeah. Is Max going to share some of the many cookies and desserts that he got from the Danglers, or is he going to keep it all to himself?
And I brought these from the Danglers.
Yeah, you get some very high-quality desserts, far better than what the sheriff's office has been giving you. Crappy, you know, day-old donuts and all that.
Yeah, you get some tiramisu, some ladyfinger strawberry shortcake, you know, the good stuff.
From the best bakeries in the area, of course. So,
I'm sorry if you guys can hear this corgi in the background that comes out and barks in my neighborhood, like, no super worries. Loud.
It's not that bad. Yeah. I stopped by and, you know, and call their attention from my car and say, hey, where are we going? Do we go back to the hotel? Did you get the manuscript?
Well, might as well just go to New York right now and stay the night in a hotel.
Well, I don't think we should leave the boy here by himself.
I think he's harmless.
Harmless? He killed 3 people.
I doubt that boy killed 3 people.
You don't think he summoned the whatever it was that did this?
It's possible, Agent Mikey. I will give you that. I won't discount that it's a possibility. I just would put my money more on Samuel, the teacher.
Samuel Adams?
Yes.
Teacher? Why would the teacher have killed the dentist or the... I can see why he might have... I mean, certainly, you know, boyfriends kill their girlfriends every day. I can see why he would have killed Miss Hutman, but... Why would he have killed the cheerleader or the dentist? That doesn't make any sense.
Does murder make sense, Agent Mikey?
It does with this boy. He fits all the victims.
Well, I'm sure if we leave the sheriff with instructions, he will keep him here. We need only be gone for about a day, I believe.
Speaking of which, has the sheriff come back? I mean...
Yeah. He checked in a few times. You gave him an update. If you need him to do anything, he will. But he generally, when you guys are together, he gives you space because he doesn't want to be like the guy eavesdropping.
Okay. Now, I just wanted to make sure that sheriff hadn't disappeared. Wait a second.
Fourth murder. Oh, no.
And if you guys really want, you can all go off to New York City and have the sheriff make sure that he or somebody's watching Thomas Dengler. So keep in mind, you have lodgings in Montauk, so you don't have to go to New York City for a hotel if you don't want to there.
But then we're if there's gonna
be an ex-victim, that's gonna be Agent Molotov. I believe he pissed off that kid pretty badly.
That's why Brent didn't show up. So Molotov isn't here.
Well,
I don't know. I'm not comfortable.
Senior agents.
I'm not comfortable leaving the boy alone. Perhaps you two should head off to New York in the morning, and I'll stay here and continue to keep an eye on the boy until we hear from Agent Marcus.
I would say let's split once again. One of us go to the professor's house and keep an eye on him. One of us go to the kid's house. And the other one goes to New York to find out more about the painting.
Well, I don't think we need to cover the kid's house because I took everything of value from them. And
they have nothing left. They're selling their house.
And the kid is in the sheriff's office under Agent Mikey's watchful eye. So, one of us can go to New York and one of us can go to watch/interact with the skeezy professor.
You mean the teacher? The Samuel teacher. Adams.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Professor. I'm giving him way more credit than he's due.
Well, you're the one who suspects Mr. Adams, so you should go interview him if you're so suspicious of him.
Yes. Indeed. A follow-up questioning.
And Agent Marco can go to New York in the morning.
Okay. Sounds like a good plan, so...
I can help you fit this painting into your car.
I'll open the trunk and see if I can get the painting there.
That won't be fitting in the trunk.
Okay. So Marco's going to New York is the plan. He's leaving tonight to get a hotel room in New York City. Is that right?
Yeah.
On the Delta Green Dime. Boom.
Okay, sure. And Mikey's going to stay and guard the Thomas Dengler's cell overnight?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just not comfortable leaving him here.
Okay. And Max, you're going to go to what? Go wake Samuel Adams up, probably? Or?
Nope. I'm going to stake out his house and see if there's any activity going on tonight. Just kind of do a little stakeout and see where he goes in the morning. And what day of the week is it, Shannon? I'm sorry.
I believe we are still... So I thought we were on the second day, but Jim told me we're actually still on the first. So I believe it is Thursday night.
We are just busy little bees.
I mean, you guys got in really early. But,
yep.
It's still the first day.
Yeah. It's been a busy and productive day.
Yes.
So it's
That's why
Thursday.
They pay you guys the big bucks.
yeah, they pay us in sand loss. It's Thursday night. Okay. Well, yes, I'll go drive over to his house and kind of check it out, see if there's anything going on. If I can
see. He lives in an apartment complex, which is got the open walkway, so you can just kind of pull in and kind of watch from there, and you can see that he's got like some event going on. There's a bunch of people. Like maybe some cocktail party equivalent. Every now and then they'll come out in the hallway and you can see them smoking a cigarette, talking with some attractive woman.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. He's like wearing a tuxedo too.
I think I might just position myself so that the next time he comes out on the balcony, I might just walk on up there and get his attention real quick.
Okay, make a luck roll.
That is a 10 success.
Okay, so you set yourself up.
Impale luck.
Yeah, you set yourself up and you're ready and at the perfect time and with no wait. He comes back on the hallway and he's talking with another attractive woman, a redhead.
And Mason pounces with his schmoozing ability.
Okay. As you are approaching, make an easy spot, so double your spot roll.
Okay. That's a 20 under 100, so
okay.
Success.
You realize that the redhead is the Scully lookalike from the Phenomenon X group.
I will turn around and wait until he's not talking to that lady.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe after about 10 minutes or so, they're talking, and you see them exchanging cards, and you can hear him saying, "It's been a real pleasure talking with you. I hope we get to meet again before you leave." And she's flirty with him and says, "Oh, I'm sure we're going to talk." And you can see like there's the handshake with the lingering fingers. And
then I cringe.
And then you come walking up and destroy his mood.
Thanks. Yes, Mr. Adams.
Yes, can I help you?
Yes, may I speak with you for a moment? Special Agent Mason.
Okay, yeah, you're wearing your FBI.
Yeah.
Okay.
I say, I could speak to you over here, just in the hallway, if you don't care to disturb your party.
Is this going to take long? I am hosting.
Be sure to be sure to make the app roll, so we know if he thinks you're...
Yeah.
Yeah, make the app roll. For first impression.
That's a 43 under 45, which is a success.
All right. So you'll get... You'll get a plus 10 with him.
Okay.
He's a bit more resistant than the Danglers. He says, all right, this won't take long, I hope.
It should only take a few minutes, I hope.
I was just about to give a speech about the Boston Tea Party, but it can wait.
I hope it'll only take a few minutes. That's entirely up to you, sir.
All right, so he goes off to the side with you, impatiently.
Yes, I was wondering, What? It seems like you have some sort of knowledge of this South American history you've been quite interested in recently. Is that,
the case? I wouldn't call it recent, but I've always had an interest in American history because Central and South American do have had an impact on American history. Plus, it's just a very interesting culture.
Yes. And I see you've, and I'll kind of pull out my notebook, look at my notes. You've been, you've had Mr. Dengler and looks like another student, Mr. Penman, in your class of the past year.
Oh, that sounds right. Both of, I would say Penman was a good student. I'd say Dengler was exceptional. Certainly better than most of the student body I get into my classes, he says, with noticeable disdain.
Oh, so Dengler was quite interested in the subject you were teaching, the South American history, then.
He just had the mind, he potentially has the mind of a scholar, and I rarely get to see that. Most of these kids, they're just going through the motions. Their kids are going to send them off to business school. They're going to work on Wall Street, maybe, or they're going to go to law school, or they're going to become doctors. Kind of the same old to keep their fortunes going.
Did you know that, or did Mr. Dengler ever mention anything about his grandfather?
He did mention he had a grandfather who was an archaeologist, but I didn't have the heart to tell the kid that he was actually, his grandfather actually was kicked out of the university, from what I recall. Thomas didn't seem to know that.
Interesting. Conversely, this professor you have been following, Dr. Wu, seems you've taken some children out to the see his lectures.
Oh, certainly. If you want people to know anything about South American culture, that's the best place to go from here. It's only a couple hours drive, and Professor Wu is quite knowledgeable on that and a number of things. Can only go to Bear Island so much; that gets boring after a while.
Bear Island.
Yes, that's where the American Indians would go to. Some say they used to do rituals there, but nothing's been academically verified. It's just folklore. But yeah, getting back to things, the parents here just are always demanding that their kids get exposed to more and more interesting things. So Bear Island just doesn't cut it once they're upperclassmen or women.
Very well. Well, I don't want to interrupt your party too much. I'll let you get back to it. Thank you for answering those couple questions. I will contact you again if I need anything.
Do you give him a card or no?
No, I tell him I'll contact him.
Okay. He says, he actually asks, can I get your card, agent? And he gives you his card.
Yes, I will give him one of my fake FBI cards.
Okay. You don't think he's hitting on you. He just wants your contact info. So, all right. He takes it, bids you good night, and strolls back into the apartment. Like a man with no problems at all in his life, because he's a descendant of Samuel Adams.
Well, I will go stay parked across the street and stake him out for the rest of the night.
Okay. So, Jim, I take it you're sleeping at the sheriff's office?
Yeah. Since Agent Mason was, I presume, left everything at the office, I'm going to take a... And now that I'm an expert on South American cultures, having studied the book, I'm gonna take a pass through the manuscript as well.
Okay.
And then there was also a bunch of other academic books that I had not looked through yet, so I don't know if there's anything important in there.
There are boxes and boxes, like thousands, if not tens of thousands, of pages that you could read.
Agent Mikey is in heaven.
Yeah. So I take it you're kind of reading for a while and then you go to sleep. And Marco, you're going to New York City and just getting a room at a hotel or motel?
That's about right.
Okay. So I'll give Jim one more history roll as he's going through the books. And or history, library use roll, and occult, since he's spending a few hours doing that.
That would be library use.
Okay.
And that's a good.
Okay. So you're able to locate the phone number of this Professor Shropshire in Wisconsin. You find it in one of the... it's scratched on a piece of paper, and it's got a phone... looks like an office phone number. Probably too late to call, but
I would,
you've got it.
Well, on the other hand, he's in Wisconsin, so it's, you know...
Yeah, it's about... by the time you finish, it's probably about 1 a.m., though.
Okay, so it's midnight in Wisconsin? Yeah, that's still...
Yeah.
Okay.
You always just say, hey, I'm FBI, I'll call when I want, but still.
No, that's okay. Yeah, then I'm just going to put my feet up and make sure the boy's still alive.
His attorney left probably around 11 and told him not to, to speak or say anything unless he was around. And,
sure.
You know, bid you good night politely.
Okay.
And then, you guys all turn in your own different ways, and here's where you need to make opposed luck rolls, and you can re-roll your luck rolls to beat other players with your clue chips if you want. I will tell you that this is very bad, whoever fails, and you can partly blame Brent for this, who's not here. Conveniently.
Okay, so how does this work? Everybody rolls luck, and whoever has lowest is boned?
Whoever has the worst luck roll, meaning like...
highest, yes.
Yeah, you explain... You know, if keep track of how much you made it by or missed by. And of course, if you backbreak the 99 or 100, you can't re-roll it. But otherwise, you can keep re-rolling with clue chips if you want.
I pass by 22.
Okay. I pass by 32.
I fail by 19, so I will use a clue chip.
Good call. Take a clue chip off.
Oh no, dice on the ground. Hold on.
The audience is...
man. 92. I have one more clue chip, right?
Two. Two. I'll take one off.
Okay, yeah, I'll use a clue chip. Oh, 17. Boom. Safe.
Wow. How much did you make it by?
43.
All right, so one of the two of you now. You've got clue chips to re-roll if you want.
Asian Mikey has the upper hand.
I'm going to tell you, this is very bad.
Oh, man, that's twice now.
If you want to burn all your clue chips to try and beat the others, not a bad idea.
Oh, man.
I'll tell you that now.
No, I'm good.
Okay, so Jim is the winner.
You are the winner. All right, so poor Agent Mikey is...
Brave man, Agent Mikey. Brave man he is.
Well, really, if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen
near
the boy, I figure. So.
Yeah, exactly. At least it'll happen at Dangler 2.
The good news is that if your character dies, you keep your clue chips with your next character. Because that's the work of the player. So, Mikey has been... dreaming about all types of South American materials and whatnot. He's finally dozed off sometime in the middle of the night. Thomas Stengler stops sobbing in his cell about not getting into Harvard. And suddenly, there is a tremendous crash that awakens Mikey. And it's coming from the cell area, and you can hear Thomas Stengler screaming his lungs out, like he's just in terror of something.
I draw my weapon and rush back there.
Okay, that was a sand check for Dengler, by the way, per the thing. Probably didn't make it on a 61, but you never know. You come running in down the, you know, into the cell area, which is a quarter away that goes, you know, maybe 30 feet. It's got two cells on one side, two on the other side, and literally part of the wall has been torn away and just crumbled in. And I need you to make a sand check, not surprisingly.
02. That's a pass.
That's an impale, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Nice.
So normally you'd lose a little sand, but if you impale in my game, you don't lose any sand. You see this humongous-sized creature with wings and dark and reptilian and human with strange-looking tattoos on its arms and whatnot. It has a sinister and alien appearance, eyes that are glowing gold, arms that are quite long and clawed. You can make an idea roll immediately as you're
as I open fire.
This. Yeah, that's yeah.
I pass idea.
Yeah, the way the claws are made and everything, it totally relates to the confusion they had about something like a saw almost cutting into these people when they were torn apart.
Yep, I'm shooting.
All right, go for it.
Bang. Is that a... That's an impale.
Nice. Go and roll damage, and if you have a second shot, go ahead and take that too.
Damage will be not much, 8. And second shot is a hit, but not an impale. Ooh, but there's a 10 for that.
Here's a shadowy picture of the creature. All right, so your total damage is how much?
18.
Nice. All right, you hit the creature, put it right into its chest. It kind of like almost like stops for a moment. And then... Thomas is in his scale screaming and in a corner, just like, and he's tearing at his cheeks and bleeding his face as he's looking at this thing and clearly have lost it.
Yeah.
The creature casually glances at him and comes to you moving incredibly fast. You got, basically this is the first combat round where both of you get to go. This creature moves incredibly fast. It attacks with a one of its claws at you. That's a mess. All right, what are you going to do?
So is the boy's alive, right?
Yeah, he's just screaming and tearing at his face.
Okay.
You can make another idea roll, by the way.
I have an idea to run away. Yeah, I impale my idea, actually.
Okay. All right, with an impale, I'll tell you, yeah, you should get the fuck out of here because you just put enough lead in that would kill a regular person, and this thing just kind of like, oh, somebody poked my chest for a second.
Yep, that's what I was thinking.
Oh, my goodness.
On the other hand, inside he's a little more constrained. He can't fly, but yeah, I'm gonna book it. At least.
Also, with your impale, you get the distinctive feeling that this creature has targeted you in some way.
Oh, that figures. I don't really. No, I can't run away. I feel responsible for the kid. I know the thing can fly, so I don't want to run outside. That would just seem to make it worse. It's strong enough. It's going to bust through any doors that I put in its way, I'm sure. So, yeah, I'm just going to have to shoot it again.
Okay,
use the powder. Use the powder, Jim.
Burn it all down. Burn it all down.
Can I throw the charms at it? Maybe that'll...
You can definitely throw a charm at it if you prefer.
Actually, you know, that makes it, that made that, I don't know. Well, yeah, seeing that the gunshots didn't do anything and thinking that the charms have something to do with it, yeah, I'm just going to pick them up, you know, and just hurl a handful of them at the thing.
Okay, good. Make a throwing roll.
Well, I have no throw. I get a 57.
Defaults.
Yep.
Okay. That's okay. Mess. They land nearby it, but don't strike it. The creature doesn't react in any way like it's scared of them or anything like that.
Okay.
Now you gotta shoot him. It is now before you. It is now getting two attacks. Claw. Miss. Look at that. And a bite. Also a miss. Wow.
Ha
ha. All bunch of 90s and a 79 has been my lowest roll so far. All right. So you threw the charms. You know, this is.
The agents of the U.S. Postal Service are well trained in.
And burying people in paper. So it is your turn to go.
Okay. Yep. I have to shoot it. I got nothing. That's a hit. 8 points.
Okay. And second shot or no?
Second shot. Yep. I got bullets left. Is a hit for another 4. So that's 12.
All right, you're just putting lead into it, and you notice that the first bullet went in through its side, and in that moment you notice it ricochets off and the bullet goes into the wall.
Yeah, that's not good.
And the creature's teeth, per this picture, reveal like that, and you get the sinking feeling that it's smiling. That's going to be a hit. You are allowed to dodge if you want, though per my rules, a dodge sort of takes place of your actions for next round.
Yep. No, I'm going to be too busy running. Yeah.
It does have a bite, too. But, okay. Let's see if the bite hits, and then if it does, I'll be nice, and you can decide if you want to try and dodge or take it. Bite also hits.
No, I'll just take it.
Okay.
I'm gonna die anyway.
The bite does this amount. 11 points.
I passed my con roll.
Okay. And the other does 7.
And I die.
All right. Well, you played that well. Don't feel bad. I have many characters that I can send to you. You do get to keep your clue chips. And probably within an hour, Marco and Max get a call that something horrible has happened at the sheriff's office. And that...
Marco's out of town now.
Agent Mikey is down.
First question I asked, was it Molotov?
Marcus says, it'd be the sheriff probably calling, saying, well, as far as we can tell, Special Agent, something just tore through the wall. Thomas Dengler is still in the cell, but he's totally lost it. He's had a nervous breakdown. But your Special Agent Mikey looks like the victims. He's been horribly torn out. I mean, torn apart is what he would say.
Well, I'll be down there too, sweet Sheriff.
Okay. Jim, you want a talkie character, a combat character, something in between?
Give me the Sheriff.
Sheriff Jim.
So when I get the call, I'm not sure about returning at this point. I'm going to call Agent Mason and ask him to deal with it. Hey, Agent, I'm here in New York already. Unfortunately, there's nothing I can do for poor Mikey, so can you take over what happened there and come back to me? I will check on the painting as planned and give you a call tomorrow.
Yeah. Continue with the investigation, Agent Marco. It'll be okay. I'll take care of Agent Mikey. I'm okay. It'll be fine. Don't worry.
We need to take the torch left by Agent Mikey.
Don't worry, Agent Marco. I'll take care of it.
Jim, did you have a preference, or you just want me to send you a PDF of the character over?
You choose. Whatever.
All right. I'm going to send you Sebastian Hughes, an older guy, but quite cunning. I'll send that over in just a moment. Okay, so Max, you make your way to the sheriff's office. You get out in the front, and you can see that the sheriff's there, and some of his deputies are there as well. You can also see there is a news reporter there.
Nope. Sorry. Not going to happen. So, Sheriff, I need you to secure the scene. No press, no bystanders. 100-yard radius. Thank you. And I walk inside.
Okay. You walk inside, and you can see the remains of someone have been covered, and you can hear blubbering in one of the cells, which is Thomas, you're pretty sure.
Well, I will go right over to Thomas. is he locked in his cell?
Yeah, he's still locked in his cell.
Do I need to go get the key?
No, you got the key.
Okay. Say, Thomas, does he answer?
He is just like pale and trembling. He kind of looks at you and he tries to say something and just starts to hyperventilate. You can also see that his face is running with makeup, and you think maybe he's been trying to cover up some of his acne with makeup and whatnot, and it's run. Well, also looks like he's got claw marks on his face, like his fingernails were digging in.
Okay. And is his cell caved in, or it's just the other cell next to him?
So the wall on the other side of the corridor was torn out, and it looks like some of two cells that were bordering that wall looked damaged too. But Thomas' cell is still tight.
Him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So when Jim would have walked in, it would have been on the right.
Yeah.
Dangler would have been on the left. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Say, Thomas, do you need anything? Water? Just nod for yes, or shake your head left and right for no.
You think he nodded and shook his head.
Okay, well, I'll go out, get him some water. I'll ask the sheriff. Sheriff, is there any other secure place, like one of the offices or like an interrogation room that I might put him in to take him away from the crime scene? That is just horribly traumatic to have him staring at the scene of what just happened, whatever happened there.
Says, well, Special Agent, we could always take him to the Swansea Clinic. There's cells there if needed. That would probably be more secure than closest thing to this.
I think we should, yeah. Can you make a call and get someone over here to pick him up?
Of course. So he goes off to do that. He says, what do you want done with the remains of Agent Mikey?
Just, we'll have them collected by the local coroner. Or yeah.
He wouldn't call him Agent Mikey. He'd call him Jesse, whatever his name was. Okay, so you guys put that in to have remains. Do you want to look at the remains of...
I will go inside, and before, you know, obviously he has to call someone to come and collect the remains. So in the meantime, I will go inside. Sure.
So first off, just the fact that one of your fellow agents died requires a sand check from both you and Randall.
Okay. That's an ot 6. I pass. That's actually an impale.
Okay.
I pass.
Regular pass or did you impale too, Randall?
No, regular.
I'm going to say it's a 1-point loss because you guys were pretty tight. You guys were a cell and whatnot. So just the fact that he died, I would say, is a 1-point sand loss. And impale, you're fine.
Okay. Makes sense. Although what I'm going to do is stop by and get a bottle of vodka and, you know.
You're going to Montauk, or are you just going
to? No. I'm going to stop by on the way to the
sure.
hotel.
Get so you drink
alone.
Drink alone, remembering the poor aging Mikey. Your memory, Mikey, I will say.
Do you have a special flashback you want to share with all of us, including the listeners, of something that just. Memorable moment with Mikey could have been this mission or a previous mission.
I will think about it.
Okay, we'll get back to that. All right, so Max, you go up to pull it over and look at the remains. Obviously, make a sand check.
Yep, and that is a fail.
This is going to be a D3 as you're just looking at how horribly. Mangled his body was by this whatever happened,
and that's going to be 2.
So the manner in which Mikey died is incredibly similar to the previous victims. His skull is missing and his back has been opened up, and it looks like his spine was forcibly removed.
And is there gray goo around?
Yes.
A lot of it, I'm assuming.
Yeah. You can also tell by his handgun that he discharged 4 rounds.
Well, yeah, I'll pull out the clip and see how many rounds he has left.
Yeah. And you can also tell that this, you know, you get this information later, but I'll just give it to you now. Only one of the bullets is recovered, which makes you think that the other 3 bullets were in whatever he shot. There is no evidence of blood or anything like blood around, with the exception of Mikey's blood.
And I will take Agent Mikey's handgun.
Yeah, he put 3 rounds into something, and there's no evidence of blood from those 3 rounds.
Wait,
and there's
I thought you said 3 rounds weren't recovered, so wouldn't it be 4 rounds?
And so there was one.
Oh, yeah, that's what
miss.
I mean. I was getting, okay. And gotcha. The fourth bullet has no evidence of blood on it either.
No evidence of blood.
Or no evidence of anything else? No. I mean, there's grayish polymer on that bullet, but there's nothing like blood. There's nothing like blood that you would expect.
Hmm. Interesting.
In the morning, you'll get a report of this gray polymer, by the way. So remind me about that when you get to morning, Randall, since you've been asking about it a lot.
Okay. Well, I will do all the necessary paperwork and wait and make sure the coroner takes care of Mikey in the proper manner.
You also get a call from Marcus, by the way.
Marcus.
As you're going through all this.
It's about time.
He says...
This hasn't been an amazing first mission, let me tell you, but...
You hear him smoking to relieve stress, probably.
I won't be discouraged.
Yeah, so you let him know what's going on. I mean, in more detail. He's already heard part of it. And he says, that's unfortunate about Agent Mikey. He was a good man and a good postal worker.
He was.
I am sending another agent your way. He should be arriving shortly.
Is he also from the Postal Service?
Jim? Is this one from the Postal Service? I don't think it's on the character sheet. I don't think that guy decided.
It's not. No.
He's not from the Postal Service, Marcus says.
Marcus, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. This is getting crazier and crazier.
You knew what you were getting into when you signed up for a night at the opera.
Yeah, and what's up with Molotov? That guy's gone off the deep end. What's up with him? He's crazy.
Our line of business tends to attract unstable types at times.
Okay, you haven't gotten any calls from the FBI, have you?
No. Hopefully I won't. If I did, that would concern me.
Well, I don't want to concern you. Then, if you haven't gotten any calls, you should be fine.
I'll look into this, because you probably told him everything, so now he's concerned that people are going to start digging this, so he's going to try and slow it down, is basically what he tells you.
Yes. Damage control. Back channeling.
He says, call me if you need anything, and he doesn't even wait for a reply. He just hangs up.
Just like him. Classic him.
So, Jim, you can show up whenever you want, by the way. Even now, if you want to walk in, you can do it. Oh. Just let me know.
No, that'll be in the morning. I'm not coming down that soon.
You don't want to make a sand check, too?
That is just the best picture ever, Jim.
They can wait.
Yeah, that came with the character sheet. This guy picked it out and put it on the
PDF. So perfect. I don't even know who he is yet, and it's perfect.
So, yeah, there were two players who played this, and they decided they were going to be Grumpy Old Man meets Delta Green. This is one of the characters. Every morning, it was like, okay, which diner are we going to go to next? That was their big thing. And somehow, this particular guy survived the entire scenario. I don't know how he did it, but he pulled it off. Most people end with on a second character, but anyway.
Really?
Or third, or fourth.
Love it. Let's go.
I probably shouldn't have said that. Now Brent's never going to come back. He's going to hear the pod.
Molotov will live forever.
So, obviously the remains of Agent Mike are taken away. The area is marked off as needed. State troopers offer to come by, but you probably say no. We don't need you.
No. We have it handled. Say, Sheriff, I'm not sure exactly what happened here. I'm going to look into it. Agency will look into it. And, I'm sorry about your office. It's got a bit more air conditioning than I think you're probably used to.
Well, don't you worry about that, Special Agent. We're going to have some people come in and fix that wall up. He says, it looks like your colleague was hitting the books, and he gestures at one of the desks, and you can see a lot of the books that you brought back from the Dengler residence are spread out. And in particular, there were he had the drafts by Derek Wheeler.
I will say, Sheriff, do you have any sticky notes, post-it notes? Can I get a couple books? Yeah, I'm going to go and I'm going to mark all the pages and places that Mikey had open. And then I'm going to close everything up, pack everything up, and head back to the hotel to deposit everything there.
So you have the information that I gave to Jim as an FYI on the Shropshire fellow and you know, his number.
Phone number for him, yeah. But and then, hadn't and called him yet because it was too late.
And then you notice that there's Derek Wheeler's unpublished thesis has been marked by Professor Wu at the Natural History Museum in New York City. His big comprehensive book.
I will call Agent Marco and inform him of such.
Okay. Oh, are you coherent enough to take the call, Agent Randall, or are you drunk on vodka?
That's what I was just thinking. Drunk Agent Marco. Yes. Phone call time.
Is she the murder? I'm going to call you now. I'm going to call his phone right now.
Agent Marco. Agent Marco. It's Agent Mason.
Yes. I can hear you fine.
Good. Do you have a pen and paper?
Let me look for it. Oh, gosh. Sounds a little bit drunk.
I'm assuming it takes like 5 minutes for him to find the paper.
Trashing everything on just where to find the pen. Oh, God damn it, where is that pen when I need it?
He's taking Mikey's death harder than you. He cares more. So the audience will love him more.
Oh, I will feel sympathy towards him and his friendship with Agent Mikey.
Yeah, found it.
Okay, Agent Marco. Tomorrow, if you go and question Professor Wu or Dr. Wu, Professor Wu, he references the unpublished manuscript of Mr. What's his name? The Elder Wheeler.
Derek Wheeler.
He references in his book, Derek Wheeler, the archaeologist, his manuscript, but it was unpublished. I think there might be a connection there.
Probably they were friends, like me and Mikey.
Yes, I'm sorry about Agent Mikey, Agent Marco. Okay. He will be missed.
I'll take a note with, you know, about writing and put it on my notebook.
Okay.
Agent Marco, you should get your rest. I'll leave you to it.
Okay.
It's going to be okay.
I'll call you tomorrow.
10-4.
Take care of Mikey for me. Take care of Mikey.
I already have. Good Don't man, you worry. Mike.
Good man.
I'll hang up.
Okay, and at that point, morning comes. And Jim, if you want to, you can link up with Randall's character and be with him.
Yeah, that's what
so I'm going to do him next, and he'll give you some screen time.
That's what I was going to do. I want to join him in New York before he goes to see Professor Wu.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you want to come up to his hotel room and knock on his door? And
yep.
Okay. So you wake up. There's a knocking at your door.
Agent Marco!
Is your still probably? Do you have a hangover too, Randall?
Yeah, hangover.
Got to.
Hangover, but I'm gonna take a. You know, a cold shower. Take it off. Then I'm going to peek through the window and see who is calling me by my nickname.
We can see the picture of the character, but would you like to describe it for the listeners, Jim? This strapping old man?
Yes, he's a very handsome-looking old man. A bit of a receding hairline. Put on a few pounds over the years. Very intelligent. Well-educated looking fellow. Dress is a little shabby, but mustache, glasses, gray hair.
Do I know him?
Cheeks.
Yeah, he's connected with another cell. Okay. He's like in a floating cell, basically. Like his cell fell apart, so
Agent Marco, Agent Hughes, Agent Marcus, send me. Open up.
I will go and open up, open the door and let him. Sorry about the mess.
Yeah, it's quite a mess.
Had a bad night.
Yes.
I don't know if you're aware we lost Mikey.
I understand you boys have been having some problems lately. That's why I'm here to help. So where's this painting of yours? Let me see it.
I guess I will have it under the bed, and I will grab it and show it to the to Hughes.
Okay, make your awesome painting roll of 60.
I pass.
All right, nice.
Well, this is a remarkable work. Bit amateurish, kind of simple, South American. What's the big deal?
Yeah, as you go over it with your roll, it's pretty much
signed, so you know who the painter is. He wasn't signed.
That does seem a little peculiar to you that an artist would not sign their work, especially if they're selling their work.
Well, clearly it's done by an amateur, no doubt. So you're going to see this Professor Wu fellow, yes?
Yes, that's the plan. Are you coming with me?
Do I know anything about Professor Wu?
You've been brought up to date, I would think.
Okay, I meant besides that. I meant given the fact that I know that
you are a PhD, so you do know that he is a quite distinguished professor on the East Coast. He has traveled abroad and given speeches in a number of places, including South America. He is basically going back and forth between a few universities, Fordham University in particular, and he's at the Natural History Museum kind of on a part-time basis, and it isn't unusual for professors to do this type of work, especially in their later years. He's a pretty old guy. You know that he's on a walker.
Okay.
Question, Shannon. I remember that the school went for a trip to one of the museums. Did we get a name when they went for the trip?
Went to one of his lectures.
Yeah.
It was lecture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so he's the same guy. That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah. Apparently, Sam Adams has taken multiple groups to Wu when you looked it up. That's what you found out. Looks like he goes like a few times a year.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, it's morning. You probably have set up an appointment already, I would think. So you're due to see him probably or a little before lunchtime.
Well, I was actually thinking about taking this painting. How should I call you? You should have an agent name.
You can call me Dr. Hughes. That's good enough.
He doesn't expect to be here long, so he's not going to give you a code name.
So I was planning to take it to an expert here in New York.
Oh, my dear boy, I am an expert. You already have an expert actually, has reviewed it.
Yeah, actually, Sebastian Hughes is an expert. You know that.
Okay.
Mechanically, he has a 60 in painting.
Okay. Well then, let's go and pay this man a visit at the museum.
So even with your hangover and your cold shower, you do have enough time to go to New York City and do some research before you go see Wu, if you want. And with the great Sebastian Hughes along, no doubt you'll succeed at all your roles.
Well, you know what? I'm going to do some research about this Wu. Who is his name?
Sebastian Hughes. Oh, he needs somebody else.
Yeah. Oh, Professor Wu. No, I know all about him. Wu. Yes, I know the fellow. I know him. Don't worry.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Do a background check first?
Oh, I already have a background check right here in my mind. He's a
he just relays it all out. Like, wow,
very distinguished fellow. Does a lot of research. South America, very well known. Older gentleman, wheelchair. That's all you need to know.
I hesitate, but I had such a headache that I want to discuss with the doctor, so I will go along.
Is Marco missing Mikey more and more now?
Yeah. Oh, I miss my old partner. All right, let's go, Dr. Hughes. Let's see what he can tell us about this painting and whatnot.
Okay. So you're just going to wait and go see Professor Hu later in the day, or did you guys want to do something before, like research and whatnot? Was it clear about that?
There's no research we need to do. I already know everything.
Well, that settles that, right, Marco?
Yeah, exactly. No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and visit this professor first with the Dr. Hughes, and then I'm going to do some research again, you know, searching the net and see what I can find.
Sure. Okay. So you're going to do that. Is Hughes going to do anything to assist, or is he just going to enjoy himself and get something to eat or hang out or whatever?
No, I'm just gonna hang out.
Okay, go and make it. So you're just kind of looking up basic info about this guy, right, Randall?
See what I can find on the net.
Okay, go and make a computer use roll.
No, that's an 11.
Nice. So you get all the information that Sebastian Hughes so generously supplied to you. The additional information you get with your impale is that... That's of interest to you is that apparently Professor Wu in an interview mentions a paper he's working on, and he talks how he is working with a Professor Shropshire, and there is talk of updating his thesis with some new information for the academics dealing with dark angels and avatars. And when they try to press him for info, he's like, well, it's in the works, and Professor Shropshire has more information than me, is what he says. It's like in some academic interview that you find on using the AltaVista search engine.
Okay. I will do some cross-check with the other professor. What's the name of the professor again?
Professor Javier Wu.
No, Javier Lu, but who's the other one?
Jim has that, but I can give it to you. That's Professor Wilbert Shropshire of the University of Wisconsin.
Yep. Shropshire.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
Max, I will do some background check on him as well.
So Max will need to go, but we can do another scene or so if you guys want, or we can stop here. We're just a bit before 8 p.m. Pacific time. I'm good either way. Totally up to you guys.
Well, if Max has to go, maybe we can stop.
Okay. That's Jim, not Max.
Oh, Jim is getting.
Oh, I think it was Max. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Take that, Jim. Yeah, it might be if Jim has to go, then yes, because you guys are together. That might be a good idea. So, yeah. All right. Well, we'll pick it up in 2 weeks.
All right.
And we'll see what happens. Perhaps Molotov will be returned to explain himself in next session. We can only hope.
All right. Thank you, Shannon.
All right, thanks, guys. Good game.
Good stuff, guys.
Fun. Bye. Talk to you later, guys. Later. Bye.
Take it easy. Bye.